broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Today, the rest of my life has...
I didn't really do anything to deserve this. I said, like, I'm like a slut.
This one is just such an affront. So much out in the open.
I want three right now, just trying to get Grammy home from the airport.
When you're really ready to play, play Graham, Nevada.
It's 2 inches long.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go every night to places other talk shows wish they could go but cannot. Did a block of Tea Partiers help Bristol Palin with Dancing with the Stars tonight? Well, we'll have the results. What happened? Did she win? Did she lose? Was it her mother's influence? Was it not? We'll find out here this evening on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, if you missed it. An Ugly Betty actor. A young man who's been in other TV shows, decapitates his mother. Plus, the use of body scanners may expand to public transportation. Later on this evening, we'll have Bobby Dooley talking about a very interesting story here and something that's affecting them at the Homeowners Association as well as other neighborhoods. Cats, dogs, which animal is more intelligent? Dean Wheeler is going to join us this hour on weather in the Pacific Northwest. Wherever you are, it's been snowing up in the Northwest, snowing probably tomorrow through the those mountain states. And, hey, it's a colder year than average. And we've got snow on the Pacific Coast up in Oregon. So we'll check into that for you. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on WEUS 810 AM in Orlando. And a brand-new affiliate on Maui. That is KAOI 1110 AM Maui in the Hawaiian Islands. PhilHendryShow.com is our website. We invite you to join us and look at live streaming video of the show as well as listening to live streaming audio of the show, PhilHendryShow.com. We have a brand new Phil Hendry Classic Phil podcast up there for you, too, so check that out. With us tonight from Mill Valley in Northern California, from the Northern California Holistic Center, is Dean Wheeler. And, Dean, we've got snow, and it's a dangerous situation for people driving. We've got if you could just bear with me here, a vicious storm struck the Pacific Northwest and other western states at the start of the holiday traveling season, dumping heavy snow on roads, knocking out power to tens of thousands of people, and causing a cargo plane to overshoot its runway in Seattle. Now, we have a bit of audio here. This is, I believe, a reporter. Right, Jace? A reporter for local Seattle television, and it is ABC, actually, News. Neil Kalinske documenting his trip from a SeaTac International Airport back into the city of Seattle yesterday during this snowstorm.
It's hour three right now, just trying to get Grammy home from the airport. Still stuck on the road. I don't know. I mean, it could be another hour. It could be another 2 hours. Been on the road for 3 hours, most of the time going the same speed we're going right now, which is basically zero. And the roads are frozen all around us.
So, Dean, and I know they had a discussion when snow was falling earlier this year, about salting the roads.
Well, and here we have another heavy snowfall in the Northwest, Bill, and here we have more discussion of salting the roads. And I think most of your listeners... perhaps are not affected by snow this evening, and perhaps they don't live in an area where there is as much snow as may perhaps you get in the Northwest and other places, and so they are not familiar with how unnecessary salting roads really is. And it is so unnecessary because it is environmentally, we know in Seattle, the snow rolls down off the street, or the salt, rather, rolls down off the streets into Puget Sound. It then obviously interacts chemically with the waters of Puget Sound. There's a high mortality rate among the fish that are in the Sound there, primarily salmon, which are used commercially. But I'm not even talking about the commercial use of salmon, just the actual ecosystem, including the salmon, which are a part of the food chain for other animals like sea lions and so forth. And so we need to really make a promise to ourselves this year that we stop talking about salting the roads and panicking people. We don't need to.
Are you saying, and I don't live in a city where there's a lot of snow, are you saying that salting the roads, but I have lived in snow, and I've seen them salt the roads, and I know that it promotes the melting of ice. Are you saying it's not necessary? What makes it unnecessary?
Well, what makes it unnecessary is if that people were a little bit, if we demanded of people better control of their motor vehicles, we would eliminate one environmental threat, and that is the salting of our roads. If we demanded that people know a little more about the motor vehicles they're driving, do you see what I'm saying?
You're telling me that we don't need to salt the roads because people were they better drivers?
Yes, and everybody that I say this to, I talked last night to a group of senior citizens, and I said, and I had to put this the best way I could. I said, half of you are not going to be here next year.
And good Lord.
Well, I believe in talking very straight to people. I said, half of you are not going to be here next year. But of the half of you that won't be here next year, it will be because you don't know how to drive. I said, but the good news is, it doesn't make you any different from anybody else. The American people don't know how to drive. If they knew how to drive, we wouldn't have to salt our roads during the winter months or take any other precautions that we may take for inclement weather. Including putting on our flashers, turning on our headlights during heavy rainstorms.
One of the problems we have is that maybe we're not better drivers. We don't turn on our flashers or our headlights, you know.
No, but we don't need to turn on flashers or headlights if we are better drivers, but we aren't. And so in conjunction with all of this other nonsense, it has an environmental impact. It kills a part of our environment, the salt on the roads, goes into Puget Sound, and does such damage. And I said to my seniors last night that if you can make one promise to yourself between now and the time that you are no longer here, I said, or if we see each other next year.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yes.
That's an awfully... Isn't that a cruel thing to say to older people? Half of you won't be here next year.
Well, but you see, with the weather the way it is, and the snow coming down the way it is, and the fact that we know how people drive, and even salting the roads is not going to be enough to keep many of our seniors alive. Salting the roads won't be enough to keep a lot of the rest of us alive. The time is for us, Al Phil, to start to learn how to drive. So I said to my seniors last night, make a promise to yourself between now and whenever, if I see you next year or not, that you're going to learn how to drive an automobile the best way you can so we can stop using salt on our streets that eventually rolls into places like the Puget Sound and destroys an entire body of the ecosystem, salmon and other fish. Don't do that because you don't want to know how to drive and because you figure you'll get away with it. And that was one other thing I said to them, and I think there's a lot of seniors listening to me who agree. Most seniors don't learn how to drive better because they feel that if they wind up in an automobile accident that, God forbid, takes a human life, they're not really going to be punished as much as the rest of us.
Well, you're attributing to senior citizens a whole lot of instinct there, that they don't want to learn how to drive because there's going to be they're going to get off easy. The fact is, we all should learn how to drive, is what you're saying. But you're saying that if we did, we wouldn't need to salt our roads. And I'm here to tell you that I have lived in ice and snow. I've lived in Minnesota. I lived in the southeast where there was a great deal of snow in Atlanta when I lived there. And without a salted road, you are on ice, my man, and you're on, in some instances, black ice, and your car is no longer under your control.
No, that's not true. That is not true. If you knew how to drive, you'd know how to negotiate an automobile on ice. This is not brain surgery. most people are frightened to death of driving on ice. I understand that. And perhaps it's laziness, perhaps it's a mental block or an emotional problem, but they don't want to learn.
Well, you tell me how to drive on ice. Okay, I was in Minnesota the very first night it snowed. I got out of the radio station. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I went across the street. I got my car. I pulled out of the parking lot. I'm in downtown Minneapolis at 2 a.m. It has just snowed. And here comes my very first red light, and I'm sliding sideways up to the red light.
Because you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing.
And Tell me how.
Well, did you eventually learn?
I eventually learned to take it a lot easier. I eventually learned...
No, you don't. It has nothing to do with speed. Driving on ice safely has nothing to do with speed. It has to do with getting your car started in the right direction, for starters. You can't be a few degrees to the left or a few degrees to the right. When the car is pointed in the right direction, and you know that you want to stop, the first thing you do is downshift, and pump the brakes once. You have to take your hands off the wheel. You downshift with your hands off the wheel. Okay?
No, all right.
You downshift.
I'm downshifting with my hands off the wheel.
Take your hands. Make sure the car is going in the right direction. Take your hands off the wheel. Downshift. Pump the brakes once with your hands off the wheel. And this is the mistake most everyone makes. I have to control the car. I have to have my hands on the wheel. Because you don't know how to stop at a red light, we're destroying I don't know how many thousands of salmon this year in Puget Sound. It is so wasteful. And the elderly people that I spoke to last night, I said to them, half of you won't even be here next year. Will you please learn how to drive? Will you please? And you know what they did? They came up to me after the talk and shook my hand and said, thank you. It was a wake-up call.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're on with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. If we knew how to drive in ice and snow, we wouldn't need to salt our roads. And Dean said that most of us don't know how to drive on ice, and the way to drive on ice is, he said that you take your hands off the wheel when you're downshifting and then popping the brakes and then put your hands on a wheel as long as you're going in the right direction. Now, I lived in Minneapolis for a year. And I lived in one of the, and it was through one of the worst winters they'd had. It was what they call one of those 100-year winters. It was cold, man. It was 60, 70 below some days. And I tell you, I never took my hands off the wheel. But if we learned how to drive in this condition, would we need to salt the roads? And therefore, would, like Puget Sound, would the salmon be dying? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Dean Wheeler of the Northern California Holistic Center. Obviously, a man concerned with the environment. Next hour, it's Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You completely misrepresented what I just said.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking about the weather. It's Thanksgiving time. People are on the roads, and we have snow in the Pacific Northwest. We have snow back east. We will have snow in the mountain states tomorrow, and people on the roads. Now, I know that you... And there are others who are opposed to salting the roads, especially salting the roads in Seattle, because the salt gets into the sound.
You know, and not only that, Phil, but the salt will get into the food supply of the sea lions and the harbor seals that are part of the ecosystem in the sound, as well as the salt eventually does get over to a place like Bainbridge Island, where there's a property cost, there's property value.
All right, but to just clarify, you believe that we don't need to salt our roads, we need to learn how to drive better, and to drive better, that means driving better on ice, that there's no salt needed.
No, not if you know how to negotiate ice. Now, you've told me, I've heard a lot of people...
Well, let me ask you, you drive regularly on ice? You live in San Francisco, you don't, you know...
No, I do live in San Francisco, Phil, but my in-laws live in Denver, Colorado, and we drive there every, I'd say every 4 months. And so I have driven in ice, I've driven in snow, and I know how to do it. And first of all...
do you have a four-wheel drive?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I have a regular two-wheel drive car, but I know how to do it. First of all, over-control of the car is... If you over-control the car, you can begin to scribble your epitaph right there on using your wife's lipstick or whatever you have, because there's no point in driving anymore. You're going to die.
What do you mean by over-control?
By putting both hands on the wheel and grabbing it tightly and trying to control what the automobile has already decided it's going to do, and that is slide to one side, slide to the other. Now, if you are sliding and the front end is going left, what do you do?
You turn left.
You turn left. But you also do one thing that no one talks about. You have to have that car door open. Because if the automobile goes into a full spin and you see traffic bearing down on you, there's one other thing you need to do. You've got to get out of that car. So you need to turn it left, swing that door open. If there's traffic coming, you need to exit the vehicle the best way you know how. Either jump, do two full rolls, and there were a great deal of videotapes.
All right, 877-877-877-6-PHIL. Jumping from an automobile.
Would you rather be in the car when it's hit by a gasoline tanker? Philly. Let's be serious.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on the line with me, Dean Wheeler, and let's take a phone call. Here we have Joseph in Boston listening on WTKK. Hello, Joseph. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to comment on the situation that we have here with, especially the recent comment of opening the car door. I'd really like to understand why that would be necessary.
Well, I indicated that if you see traffic bearing down on you, while your car is 360 degrees in the middle of an interstate, and there is traffic coming at you full speed, staying in that vehicle is basically you're staying in a can that's about to enter a garbage compactor.
Well, I know that cars are designed for impact zones, and they're designed to take the stresses. They're engineered that way to protect you. The human body can't take a full-size truck hitting it. The body's not designed to take that impact. I would stay in the vehicle where it's safe.
Good for you. All right. Well, you do what you need to do.
Have you ever had a jump from the vehicle?
But, Dean, you're not going to do that, huh?
I would not, no.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Thanks for your call. Here is Eric on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, that comment about that you just take your hands off the wheels and pump the brakes is incorrect.
Yeah. Well, you pump it once. You don't pump the brakes a lot. You pump it once.
So let me tell you why. I'm a professional truck driver. I've driven in all 48 continental states. I've been driving for 20 years.
Are you a Teamster?
I'm sorry?
Are you a Teamster? Are you a union member?
Am I a union member?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
No, I am not a union member.
Well, that's sort of, you know.
Well, wait a minute. The man has driving experience.
No,
well,
I have 20 years of driving experience.
You take your hands off that wheel.
You take the hands off that wheel and you pump that brake even just one time, you are going to go into a slide no matter what.
I'm sorry
it never happened to you. But let me tell you an example. Last year, Nebraska had a pretty bad...
What is it with you and union?
Yeah, the man's not a union driver. I don't know whether I want to...
Let's listen to the gentleman, please. Eric, go ahead.
Okay, last year, I was coming through Nebraska. Okay, I was going 3 miles an hour. 3 miles an hour. It had high winds coming through Nebraska. Okay,
right.
I was completely empty. Because they did not ice the roads, that wind pushed me and jackknifed my truck.
I know, but you're not a union driver, and I'm wondering if you knew what to do. And
I've been driving for 20 years.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean?
I have over a million miles of driving experience.
Were you on ice at the time that the car
jumped? Yes, I was on black ice.
Ice, all right.
Because when I got out of that
truck, shows that you need to have more driving experience.
All right. Listen, Eric, thank you, and I appreciate you. 877-876-PHIL. Please, Dean, give my callers respect. We'll be back with Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got Dean Wheeler on the line, and Dean, we got a dangerous situation out there. We have snow, and we have ice, and we have black ice, and you're saying that we should not salt the roads because of the salmon in Puget Sound. I understand that.
Well, hold on for a minute. The tone of your voice and the tone fill up a lot of people who are anti-environment.
I'm not anti-environment.
Please. This is a critical feature. There is a disdain when I say that we could save the lives of salmon if we don't salt these roads. There is a disdain in your voice, and there is in other people's voices. And that disdain says that you think this pursuit is silly, childish, effeminate. I am asking that people, if you will, exert some masculinity, exert some strength, and learn how to drive their automobiles on snow and on ice. That man, who was not a union truck driver, so I don't know where he gets off telling me how to drive my car when you pump the brakes one time. A lot of times. And you put a non-union driver on.
Well, the non-union, union, whatever. The man's driven for 20 years, okay?
Well, he's non-union. I drove by a non-union truck one time, one Thanksgiving. It was one of the local supermarkets. I knew it was non-union because they were on strike, and the truck was in a ditch. And there was no snow, no ice.
The two things you said here was that you will pump the brakes for the black ice with your hands off the wheel, both in downshifting and pumping the brakes. No hands on the wheel. And then 360... get ready to jump out of the car.
That is correct, yes. And the driving instructor driving instructor from Boston had no real argument against it. In fact, I would not even take driving instruction from that man. It sounded like he was half asleep.
Well, your whole argument is to jump out of the car in case you see a car or some large vehicle bearing down on you.
That is correct. That is correct. Thank you. Thank you. I did say that, and you repeating it the way I said it, that's correct.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Here is J.D. on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, J.D.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. You say if a car turns a 360 and you open the door and you're going to jump out. Correct?
That is it's a precaution. It's a precautionary move, yes, sir.
Okay. But you're saying that's a precaution. But if you jump out, okay, are you not in line of all these cars coming at you?
No, not if you choose the right moment. Obviously, you want the car between you and the traffic that's bearing down on you.
So I'm jumping out when my car is... You're jumping out of the car when the car is what?
I just said, when the car is between you and the gasoline tanker that's bearing down on you.
Do you think that the gasoline tanker is not going to push that car right over you?
Well, hopefully you're not jumping out at the last second. Hopefully what you're doing is you're looking and seeing I have, you know, and you count it down. One, two, three, how many car lengths do you have? Okay. Look at your watch, get your bearings, and then make the leap.
I'm totally confused because I know that if I jump down on the black ice, I'm not going to have any traction, and I'm not going to be able to get up and run away.
You're jumping out of the car, and you're going to be getting away from a car that's about to be hit. I'm sorry that that's difficult, but you can see, Phil, people are not familiar with what I'm saying. They're so used to having ice on the road and so used to having all of this done for them.
Well, I mean, what the man is saying, and J.D., if you jump out of a car, where are you going to land? Where are you going to wind up?
You're going to wind up away from a car that's about to be set on fire by gasoline. Isn't that good enough? Is that good enough for you? It's good enough for me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is, let's go over to Carol on the Phil Hendry Show. Carol, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are you a union member?
No, I'm not in a union. I don't drive professionally.
Then what makes you an authority? If you have to be a union member to know how to drive, then what makes you an authority?
Because I know. I mean, I know a doctor is a good guy to go to be cured. Am I a doctor? No. But I know union drivers are, unless you don't know that. Don't you know that you can go to a doctor to get, are you aware of that?
Do what?
You are aware that, are you aware that doctors have medicine?
Oh, really? No, I didn't realize that. You know what, you don't have to be legal.
I guess you have to be a doctor to know that.
Let's not call people dumb.
You said the dumbest thing I ever heard.
No, you are the dumbest thing I've ever heard because you make no sense. I'm sure. You make no sense at all.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Being a union driver does not make you a superior driver. You are an idiot.
Are you a union driver?
No, I'm not proclaiming to be a union driver.
What makes you an authority? Well, you're not an authority.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You're saying, Dean, are you in the union to that guy?
Yeah.
And you're saying that if he's in the union, that he knows what he's talking about. If he's not in the union...
If he's not in the union, I'm saying what he's saying is suspect. It's like going to a doctor that had his license pulled. Would you really want to go and have... You are stupid. It's like going to a back alley abortionist.
Why is this guy on the radio? Because he doesn't even make sense. For the same reason.
Well, if you're on the radio, then I can be on the radio. You make a lot of sense than I do.
I'm not a guest. I called in.
That's right. I am the guest, and I'm the authority.
You're on there because you know nothing.
Because I know more about it than you do.
You're going to get people killed.
Really? Oh, here you are. You're talking about staying in a car that's spinning around.
Do you want to get people killed? Because that's what you're doing.
Are you practicing for a hog calling contest? Hello.
What is that?
Well, it sounds like she's practicing hog calling.
You cannot even let anybody get a word in. I can't because you won't shut up.
I'm shutting up.
Okay, so we go to trial. You're jumping out of the car and black eyes.
Hold.
So rude.
You know what, Dean? Dean, shut up.
Well, she's doing a hot call.
Hold on. Go ahead, Carol.
No, but your guest is so rude. You need to take him off the radio because you're going to lose a lot of listeners by having him on.
Why don't you get to the point?
God.
To the point, but I can't because you're stupid and you won't shut the freaking crap up.
I'm shut up.
Okay, so when we try your little jumping out of the car on black eyes and we get smashed. Do we need to sue you because we took your advice and we got killed?
So that's you breaking wind, and that's your way of showing you have class?
What?
I just heard the rudest noise. That's what I heard. What was that?
I can't understand anything you're saying.
I heard you break wind.
No, you heard me. Go off the side of the road, you rude person.
I heard a fart. Excuse me.
No, you did not.
Let me ask you something. if you die, you're not following my...
And it went off...
Whoa. Got to watch the language there. Watch the language. Dean, final point.
I'm just saying, if she follows my advice, if she dies, she didn't follow my advice. If she's alive, she did.
If she dies, she didn't follow your advice. If she's alive, she did. All right, thank you. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler on the line with us here as we talk about the snowstorms, driving in the snow, driving on the ice, driving on the, you know, on all of this bad stuff. And essentially what we are talking about is black ice and the fact that we don't need salt. Now, everyone knows that salt has been used to get rid of ice.
Yes, it has. And why? Because people don't want to learn how to drive on ice. I've been trying to tell them, but you can hear that there is a built-in, I don't know what you would call it, Phil, there is just a built-in reaction against having to learn how to drive better. Drive around in America and see what you find. You find bad drivers. Do we want to get better? No. We'd rather have the road salted. That kills salmon. We wind up driving on roads that kill salmon. I think if we can learn how to drive on ice...
Yeah, I hear all of your philosophy, but what you're saying is you have this experience driving on ice where you have to pump the brakes and you have to jump out of the car, and the union driver is the better driver. What you're doing here is antagonizing people, and my question is why?
No, fair and Mr. Henry, I think the record shows very clearly that this last woman called me names, and I'm sorry, and then broke the loudest gas.
She said she had driven over some rough concrete.
Yes, of course she did. Uh-huh. Right.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dan in Houston. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Okay. This is pretty comical, Phil. I've been driving since I was 8 years old. I grew up in the Ozark Mountains, Branson, Missouri, to be exact, where we have ice storms. We don't have snowstorms. We have 6 inches of ice on the ground, and I grew up on the ice. The last thing you're going to do on ice is pump your brakes, and the very last thing you're going to do after that is jump out of the dumb car. You know, I mean...
Can you tell me, sir, what is an ice storm exactly? You have snow. Well, what do you mean by an ice storm? Ice is coming down.
It starts sleeting, and about 20 minutes later, you get a layer.
That's called snow. Now, the other thing is...
That's called what?
It's called snow when it sleets. That's basically snow.
Well, no, it isn't. It's frozen rain.
It's the ice on the ground.
Right. It's coming out of the air. It was out of the air. It was snow. When you commit genocide against salmon, because the American driver needs
salmon,
to have their...
Salmon? What's salmon got to do with driving on ice, dude?
Because we're using salt. Oh, God, will you listen? Oh, God, will you listen? When we drive on...
He's saying...
When you drive on... When they all salt the roads, the salt goes into Puget Sound. And it is mass slaughter. Jesus. Okay, fine. Do you eat canned salmon?
I don't know.
You're a lion.
What's salmon got to do with it, Phil?
I just told you, you clueless.
Let's take a break. I lost call screening. So let's thank you very much, Dan. You're a good man for calling. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Wow. We'll be back with more from Dean Wheeler here as we talk about how to drive on the ice on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Dean Wheeler has joined us from the Northern California Holistic Center. You know, Dean, you're not even a weather guy. You don't strike me as a global warming expert. I know you're interested in the environment.
Well, I'm interested in the environment the way all of us should be interested in the environment from the standpoint of our planet surviving. My whole issue with salt on the highways is that it eventually becomes a hazard in our environment. In Seattle, I mentioned the salmon in Puget Sound. there is wholesale, the wholesale extermination of a species is going on. If that's all right with people, I guess that's okay with me. And nothing I have said tonight, I said pump the brakes once. Don't pump the brakes like you're in a bumper car. Pump them once and make sure your hands are off the wheel as you just glide along.
As you glide along and hope you stop.
No, you're going to stop. When your car spins to the left or to the right, turn into that spin. But yes, make sure you have some... I think it only makes sense that you've got some way of getting out of that car. Have the door open. When you jump, roll twice, and then jump up and keep running. And that's what that gentleman would not allow me to finish. You go... You get out of it, you jump from the car, roll on your side once, twice, leap up, you'll land in a running position, and run. But he didn't want me to say that.
You jump out of the car, you're rolling.
You roll twice.
Roll twice, and then when you leap up, you're in a leaping...
You're in a running position.
In a running position. 877-876-PHIL.
And I know that there are people, because they're not familiar with what I'm talking about, they will dismiss it outright. And I think it's a... I think it's a tragedy.
Antoinette in Chattanooga. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Antoinette, with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead.
How you doing, Phil?
Very good, ma'am.
I'm listening to Dean, is his name? I'm a professional truck driver. I've been driving for approximately 10 years.
Are you union?
Yes. And
you are union, okay.
Hello?
Yes, are you a Teamster?
Okay, I've been driving. I'm currently driving now. I'm on my way taking a load. I just left North Dakota. And I'm listening to him say he's going to jump out of a car on black ice if a gasoline truck is bearing down on him.
I don't want to be in the car when it hits, no. Why would I want to be in the car?
Well, if a gasoline truck is bearing down on you and it hits a patch of black ice, 9 out of 10, that truck trailer is going to jackknife. So you jumping out is just going to make the trailer roll over you. Even better.
Well, the trailer
roll
is
not... And then jump up on your feet. And that doesn't happen even... Not that well in the movie.
I didn't hear when you said, Antoinette, whether you were a union driver or not. I didn't hear your response.
No, I'm not a union driver.
Aha! That's number two tonight. You see, when you're not a union driver...
All right, we're not gonna use that excuse. All right, so, Antoinette, because Dean feels that if you're not a union driver, you don't know what you're talking about. And I don't want to use that excuse. Let's just take her experience at face value, can we?
Well, I didn't take the other man's experience.
I've been driving for 10 years, so I don't understand what I was talking about.
Well, but you see, if you're not union, you don't understand. What I was saying, Antoinette, was this. First of all, it's my car that's spinning. I look in the rearview mirror as it's spinning, and I'm checking my watch. I've got 1, 2, 3. Okay, roll. Now, what am I doing? I realize I've lost control of the car. I open the door. I look, and I see the truck. 2, 3, 4, roll. And I'm out of the car. 2 rolls. You pop up, and you begin to run. Now, you say that that is not going to happen. I don't understand.
What Antoinette said is...
Please, Mr. Henry, allow the lady to speak for herself. Don't be sexist. Antoinette?
Okay, I'm here.
Yes.
Okay, what I'm trying to tell you is, Mr. Dean...
Yes, ma'am.
If a tractor-trailer hits a patch of black ice, and you think you have all this time in the world to count and open your door and jump out and roll twice and land on your feet and start running, it doesn't happen that way. It's not going to happen that way.
Have you ever done it?
Go. Excuse me?
Yes. Have you ever done the 2-roll leap?
Oh, no, I'm not jumping out of a moving car.
Well, then I dare say you don't know.
Only a crazy person would jump out a moving car.
You're talking about, Dean,
unless
you're saying...
a person absolutely had to save their life from a killer.
A gasoline tanker.
The car.
So I stay inside the car and allow myself to be barbecued because I listen to you, Antoinette. And what do they find at Dean Wheeler? Enough to put it in an ashtray.
What you do, you don't pump your brakes on some black ice because that's going to make your car go out of control even faster.
All right, but I still think I've listened to you, but you have not addressed, have you ever done the two-roll leap? No, you haven't. I have practiced it.
Have you ever leapt from a car?
At the end of that track, the trailer is going to run over you irregardless.
We don't know that. We don't know that. We can't see into the future. Perhaps the driver maintains control long enough for the rig itself, the tractor, to go into the car. And if the trailer does go out of control, maybe there's a bridge. I'm leaping into a river or leaping away. Diving into a river or I don't know.
No.
Diving into a river. So now you're leaping out of the car, roll, leap up, and dive.
Yes. If you leap up and you see you're over a river, then dive.
Mr. Field.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
Well, we do have to take a break. And I thank you very much, though, Antoinette. You've been a great caller. And Dean, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show, coming up, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the cats and dogs in the neighborhood.
No, you do it too. Oh,
Phil
God.
Hendry.